Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. Shall we just pray? Lord, we ask you to be with us, to help us hear and react to your word, and let it to live in our soul and in the way as we go out in the world as your people. And we pray these things through Jesus. Amen. Right, I don't know whether there's any people who haven't been here before when I preach, so I'm still going to introduce myself. I'm Rob Dean, one of the preaching team here. Thank you for John to starting us off very well, very thoughtfully. So shall we carry on? So the main theme of our reading this morning, I saw, was grace. And it's a word we use in services all the time, but do we really understand what the word means? To make it clearer, a professor on an evangelism course had a unique way of illustrating its meaning. At the end of the course, there was an exam. The course was wide-ranging and needed concentration and exacting revision. The students filed into the exam room and sat down. They were first verbally instructed, "Read the list of instructions completely." They opened the list of questions as instructed, and their eyes were met by a list of instructions. The first being, read these lists of instructions completely from start to finish. So, the exam started. Some read the instructions from start to finish. Some got so far through and groans echoed around the room. Some got up and walked out. Some got angry, signed the paper and left their incomplete paper on the desk. Some worked their way through the paper, sure that they did not know enough and would fail. Others read all the instructions to the end and found this statement. You have a choice. You can either complete the exam as given or sign your name at the bottom and in doing so receive an A for this assignment. Those people who signed left the exam silently. One student doggedly carried on after reading all the instructions, and he got a grade C+. Well done to him. He didn't want anything unless he had earned it. This explains to us different people's reactions to God's solution to sin. Grace, what are our reactions to God's plan to save us? So, in our reading from Ephesians, we are continuing our series on friendship. What are we being told this morning about that thing? I have three things to talk about: death, love, and grace. But the overarching theme this morning is grace. God offers the hand of friendship through his grace to us. As in the student's exam, the professor was offering this gift to his students, but first they had to read and submit to all the instructions. Then they had to make a decision, sign and receive the grace of a mark that they didn't deserve, or take another path and ignore what was being freely given. First question, what would you have done? And there aren't any easy answers. So firstly, we are told in verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Now, this doesn't mean that we are physically dead, but in God's eyes, until we turn to him, we can't be his friends because we are wrapped in all the things that we do wrong. And in verse 2, it says, "In which," this is a continuation, so in which you used to live the sins when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who disobeyed. We live under the influence of the devil, who is given control of those who ignore God's will. We live in a world that was altered by our disobedience to God in the Garden of Eden, as Richard told us earlier in this season. And then we were told by Jamie last week that this is a difficult place to live, flawed. We need friends to get us through. And the best friend to have is God, who is with us through everything, if we turn to him. In verse 3 it says, all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now don't worry, we're not saying you're all into cravings of the flesh in that sense. It's just that we all sin at times and in different places. So we're being told by the letter writer that before we became friends with God through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we were just the same as the rest of the world. The passage informs us of what we were like before our encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We were dead to God and to his gifts of grace. So we turn to the second factor in this equation, God's love. Another question, who created the world? So if you believe totally the book of Genesis, you know that it was God. In verse 4 and 5 it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. We are not saved by any action of ourselves. There is no work, no good deeds that we can do that will earn our redemption. The only things that saves us is our submission to God through Jesus. And you could say, why Jesus? Who is he? I would say that he's the main part of God's plan to save us from the start. And in John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Thank you to John again for that one. Jesus was with God in the creation, and he was planned to save us from the start. God was prepared to send him into the world that he helped to create, to save it. Sin, our bad behavior, would always be a barrier to us. But God's love through Jesus would forever defeat Satan's plan to rule God's world. We cannot save ourselves. So the analogy I use is we're like firemen without a fire engine, without the hoses and all the other equipment, the ladders and such like. We are not capable of saving anyone, let alone ourselves. Only God's love can and has saved us. The plan outlined in verses 6 to 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus was raised on a rough wooden cross to allow us to be raised with him to new life later on. God sacrificed his son out of pure love for his creation, people like us. Note the word kindness. Is that extreme enough to explain what Jesus did? To suffer derision, pain and suffering at the hands of the people that he came to save. He offered all of himself to save the people that he created. Yet he is ignored at times, ridiculed and shamed still by those that ignore that sacrifice. So finally, what is this grace all about? God loved all of his creation, including us human beings. And how are we to answer that grace so freely given in Jesus? As I said before, we are all dead to God unless we accept that Jesus died for us. Like in the exam at the start of the talk, we have to read and accept all the instructions that we are given. But there is more to do. When we accept what we are given, we sign to say that we accept an A pass. Does it end there? No, we have signed up to start a journey, to ask for help, to accept that God and Jesus will be our friends for life. And as we heard from Jamie and Richard, friendship is a two-way partnership. We support each other. We talk and we meet regularly. We counsel each other, help each other when times are hard. We work for each other and those around us so that we show God's love and grace in practical ways. Grace is given freely, and there is no way to earn it. But if we acknowledge and love God in return, we will respond in kind. We will give time, work, and effort to God's world and people. That's friendship in essence, isn't it? So, in conclusion, in verse 8 and 9, "For it is being by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are not saved by any effort on our part." But in verse 10 it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our professor Jesus gives the A mark as soon as we make the decision to follow him. We cannot do anything to increase God's grace, but it should encourage us to do practical things for him that he has already planned for us. We were dead in God's eyes until we admitted that we are not right in any way. What must we do then? How can we be perfected in God's eyes? We need to tell God our problems, faults and needs, and he in return will give us the gift of his Holy Spirit, and we will begin our journey together with him. God shows his love through his acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice for us. He sees only his son as he accepts us as part of his friend, as his friend and part of his family. He becomes our father. Jesus makes us alive in God's eyes, and his grace alone saves us. Not anything that we can do to earn his friendship and saving love. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us direct those that don't know you to your love and grace. Help us to stay in your love by admitting our mistakes, both deliberate and unintended, in our quiet times with you. Help us on our journey to study your word and to pray regularly. Help us as we meet together to truly worship you and honour your name. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen.